Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Amen. So what I've titled this message today, The Power and Importance of Prayer in a Believer's Life. Last week, we looked at prayer, but I want to just touch on a couple of things that I said last week that I want to repeat this week, and that is, number one, prayer is not merely a ritual or a religious duty. That's a good point, JJ. It is the lifeline. It is the umbilical cord to the Father. Prayer is your umbilical cord to the Father. Prayer is an intimate conversation with God that is needed by all believers, that does not exclude you. Doesn't matter if you've been serving Jesus for one day or if you've been serving Jesus for the last 90 years, you need to be praying as a believer. And I'm hoping that as we focus on 6 points this morning and look at different scripture, it will cement deep within you why there is a need for prayer in your life. Are you ready? Yes. Right. So the first point that I want to bring out is prayer is a command. Say to your neighbor, prayer is a command. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God commands us to pray, and this is evident throughout the Bible. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, Paul comes and he exhorts the believers to know that rejoicing, prayer, and giving thanks is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, prayer is not optional. Prayer needs to be a continual practice that aligns us with God's will, which I'll talk a little bit about later on. Note that in the scripture, though, prayer is sandwiched between rejoicing and giving thanks. It sandwiches in between the two. So I believe that what the writer wants you and I to know is that a dedicated prayer life is empowered with a joyous spirit and reinforced with a thankful heart. Let me repeat that again. A dedicated prayer life is empowered with a joyous spirit and reinforced with a thankful heart. You see, rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and giving thanks in everything is a learned spiritual discipline. It's a learned spiritual practice. It's not something that just happens. A baby, when a baby is born, does not come out of the womb of its mother and start walking. It's got to develop. It's got to develop its muscles. It stands first. It climbs and it crawls first before the baby starts walking. It's the same with a believer. The rejoicing and the praying without ceasing and the giving thanks in everything is got to be learned, but it is a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual practice. It is needed to be practiced and mastered daily, because who knows that when the going gets tough, it is the rejoicing that leaves the building. Thanks, sweetie. It's the rejoicing that leaves the building. Yes? Yes? Or we go from ha 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 to, oh, woe is me. Woe is me. And I get it. We've all been there in our lives before. But the rejoicing when the going gets tough gets replaced with anxiety. It gets replaced with angst. It gets replaced with worry. Am I speaking to anybody here? It's getting replaced with nervousness and concern and depression and oppression and all these kind of things. But let me explain to you something, that all those things, all those negative things that I've just touched on are rooted in one thing, and that is called fear. Fear is the root of all those kind of things. So when the rejoicing leaves, it is the fear that comes and grasps us. Who knows that fear is not part of a godly character, but it is the foothold of the one called Satan. Our motivation should be the desire to please our Father in all ways of service and obedience, which commences with communion with Him, aka prayer. Say to your neighbor, you need to pray. Then I can drink some water. Point number two, prayer is communication with God. Prayer is communication with God, or communion. I've used another word called communion. You see, Matthew 6, verses 5 to 9, it says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, but that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." Verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Stop right there. What did you notice? "But when you pray," it has been repeated how many times? Three times. You see, in Scripture, when a word or a phrase is repeated constantly on different, maybe twice, maybe three, maybe four times, the writer wants the reader to take note. And in this instant, what he wants us to take note of is when you pray, not if you pray. There's no if in that word, in that scripture. It's when you pray. It is a given fact that you are meant to be in communication with God. Then Jesus says, so this is Jesus speaking here. Hello. It's not just Jeje Meyer. It's Jesus that is speaking. All right. So then he says in Matthew 6, 18, 8 to 13, and it'll be on the board, "Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them." Then he says this, "Pray then like this." Now, what we're going to do as good, solid Numa East family is we are going to pray what is known as the Lord's Prayer. It's at the back and you can follow along. It says, let's go. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into... but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen." Wow. Guess what? You have just communicated with God. You see, prayer is a primary means of communicating with God. And what you have just done right there is you have communicated with God. But this prayer on the next slide encapsulates, number one, adoration. You see, when we say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," that is adoration. It encapsulates submission to God's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It encapsulates dependence on God. Give us this day our daily bread. It encapsulates confession. Forgive us our debts. And it encapsulates seeking guidance and protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It encapsulates declaring and recognizing that God is sovereign, that He is the creator of everything and rules over all things. When we say, "Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That is an example of a prayer that God has given us. It is an example of a prayer that encapsulates everything that prayer should be about. So we can never say we don't know how to pray because Jesus has put it all there. If we just follow that, we encapsulate everything that prayer should be about. Why do we need to pray this way? Because the third point is prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. I don't know if you felt the difference as you were saying that, but when you know the Lord's Prayer off by heart and you close your eyes and you say that, you will encounter, you will experience something different. Why? Because you are communing with the God of everything. You are communing with the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. You are the communing with the one who put the stars in the sky, the water in their place, the sand where it is. He's the one that created humans. That's who you're communicating with. We got to stop being flippant about who we're communicating with. You are communicating with God Almighty. James 5 verses 16 in the Amplified Bible says, confess to one another therefore your faults, in brackets your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray, in brackets also, for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. And then it says this, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The NIV says this, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Oh, well, righteous, I don't know. You don't know my life, JJ. No. Let's just smash this myth right there and then. A righteous person, who is a righteous person? A righteous person is a person who is in right standing with God. A righteous person has a personal relationship with Jesus as his or her Savior. A righteous person is one who lives a life characterized by faith, characterized by obedience, characterized by moral integrity, characterized by humility, repentance, love, and spiritual devotion. It is not merely about following rules, but cultivating a deep personal relationship with God and reflecting His nature in all aspects of life. So the emphasis on this scripture is that a person who lives this kind of life and who prays is heard by God, and their prayer becomes a powerful, supernatural infused force that brings about change. Let me say this, that you understand this. You do not have to jump through any hoops to attain righteousness. We all think that we've got to jump through hoops. We all think that we've got to live a certain lifestyle to become righteous. That is a lie from hell, and that is robbing you and robbing the rest of the body and your community from you praying and those prayers becoming powerful. You see, righteousness is given freely to those who believe in Jesus. Where do you get this, JJ? Romans 3, 21 to 22 says to us, the only way for sinners like you and me to be righteous before God is through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, you would not be sitting here if you did not have faith in Christ Jesus. So therefore, the person next to you might be a rat bag, but guess what? In God's eyes, they are righteous. Now they're looking at one another going, are you a rat bag? Yeah, you are a rat bag. But you know what? In God's eyes, you are righteous. You are righteous. So if you believe the Bible and what Jesus did for you, and you've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you are righteous. Therefore, I have one thing that I want to say to you today. Pray. Please pray, because my scripture says when you, the righteous one, prays, your prayers are powerful and effective. Not JJ's prayers, because he's the pastor. Your prayers are powerful and effective. Can you imagine? There's over 100 people sitting in this room. Can you imagine when every single one of us who are righteous in God's eyes begin praying? Can you imagine how powerful and effective those prayers will be? That's why we got to start praying. That's why the body of Christ has to return to prayer. Prayer's got to be a spiritual discipline that each one of us practice daily. Not when we feel like it, not when we wake up and it's warm outside, because that never happens in Melbourne. You'll never be praying. Just put the heater on. Get up and get into your prayer closet and start praying. You see, when Elijah prayed, guess what? He stopped the rain for 3.5 years, and then he brought it back again. Those were Elijah's prayers. I want to say to you, you have that capability of when, maybe you can say to the sun, come out a little bit more, that it can warm up Melbourne. Who knows? Can you imagine when all the believers are? No, let's stop it. Stop it, JJ. That's a mischievous spirit right there. You know what? This is the testament to prayer's power. Elijah stopped the rain for 3.5 years and then he brought it back. Can you imagine what you can pray when you are in alignment and in the will of God, and you as the righteous one starts praying and the powerful and your prayers become powerful and effective? Your community will never be the same. Your school will never be the same. Your university will never be the same. The businesses will never be the same. Let me tell you, Melbourne will be saved for Jesus. It's time. It's time. Moving right along. Point number four, prayer brings spiritual growth. We all need spiritual growth. We all need to mature. Yes, amen. We all need to mature. Philippians 4 verses 6 to 7 out of the Passion Translation says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Oh my gosh, that's a word for everybody right here. Do not be worried about a thing. Mum, stop worrying about your kids. Then it says, be saturated in prayer. Saturated. What, you know what that means? Does anybody want to test what it means to be saturated? Just come and stand in the front, I'll saturate you with some water. He says here, be saturated with prayer, in prayer, throughout each day, offering your faithful request before God with overflowing gratitude. Then I love this line. I love this line. This is what I love about the Passion Translation. It says, tell him every detail of your life. Hey, when we go out and I have coffee with a very good mate, and I'm sitting across the table, guess what? I am telling them every detail of my life. Am I right? Because, and then when I get up out of that table, I go, man, I feel so much better. Why? Because I've just dumped on this person everything that I've been carrying. Now, I'm not carrying it alone anymore. We're carrying it together. Now, let's take this to Father God. I go into my throne room on a Sunday morning before I walk into this door, and I sit with Father God, and I tell him every detail of my life. I tell him how I'm feeling about coming to church this Sunday morning. I'm telling him about the things I'm worried about. I'm telling him that we've got a run sheet that is so full. Lord, I need your help to get through this run sheet. I'm telling him every single detail. I get up on that table. Guess what? I'm feeling lighter because you know why? I'm not walking alone. He's carrying it. I'm not carrying it. I can walk. I can cruise into this place and go, hey, I love you all. It's good to see us. Glad you're here. Guess what Jesus is saying? God made the run sheet happen, and we had Mike there on comms, and we got Gabe at the back, and then we worshiped. Hey, but God was here. Anybody experience God this morning? I did, for sure he was here. You see, but it brings spiritual growth because when I tell him every detail of his life, in verse 7 it says, then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. When will that happen? When you sit down and tell him every detail of your life. Stop overcomplicating prayer, people. Prayer is communion. Prayer is conversation. Prayer is sitting down and having a convo. Very Ocker Aussie, convo. Prayer builds relationship with God. And as we grow closer to him, as we spend time with him, we grow closer to him. So we develop a deeper understanding of his will. And as we understand a deeper understanding of his will, so we grow spiritually. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. Tell him every detail of your life. This talks to me about conversation between a loving father and a child. You know what? When Edward comes home, I can talk about him now because he's not in the service. But when Edward comes home, because he's in the Navy, so he's finished basic training, so he's got weekend pass. We sit there like, tell us. And he goes through every day. So Monday, I got up, I did this, and then I did this, and then I don't know where he gets that from. Maybe from you, maybe from me. I don't know. And then I went to sleep. And then Tuesday, I did. But every single detail, and we sit there. Yeah. And so what happened then? And so what? As parents, picture. Papa God sitting here, you sitting there, telling him all. Now he's all knowing, he knows it, but he wants you to commune with him. He wants you to talk with him because you are his son and you are his daughter. He wants you to talk with him. As I come, when I'm up here, I say, come on people, open your mouths. Talk to Papa God because he wants to hear your voice. I'm not saying that to just get you to do something. I'm saying that because that's reality. He's a God that loves you. He's a God who loves you more than you could even imagine. He loves you so much, He sent His one and only Son to die for you. He wants to hear your voice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, this is the New King James Version, it says, in everything by prayer and supplication. You know what that word supplication means? We over-sophisticate that thing. Man, we pull it to bits. It actually stinks in our nostrils. Supplication actually suggests to transfer the burden of one's soul into God's hands. Transfer the burden of one's soul. What do you do when you're sitting across the table of a good mate? You're transferring the burdens that you carry onto that good mate of yours, and that's how come you feel better when you get up there, because you walk in it together and you know you're not doing it alone. Hello, God wants the same relationship with you because He's a good Father. He wants you to commune with Him. And then it says He will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. Point number five, prayer. Has anybody been helped out of this? Okay, I see some hands. This is good. Prayer needs to be persistent. That's a swear word. It's like the word wait. We don't like to wait. We don't like to be persistent. As soon as we get a little bit of resistance, oh, I can't do it. Am I right? Come on, let's be real with one another. As soon as there's a little, I don't want to do it. It's too difficult. Too hard basket. Stop it. We have to be persistent. Let me tell you one thing. If Jesus was not persistent, you and I wouldn't be here today. He was persistent. Even though He was facing one of His disciples chopping off the ear of another one, He was like, hey, chill, dude. Let's fix that one because I've got to go to the cross. He was persistent. We've got to be persistent. In Philippians 4, we heard, be saturated in prayer throughout the day. Last week, we heard that 120 people were in the upper room and they were waiting, but they weren't just waiting. They were constantly praying. So here we come to today where I say prayer needs to be persistent. And we look at Luke 18 verses 1 to 8. Now, this is a pretty long scripture, so I'm just going to paraphrase it. But I want to start, read the beginning and read the end. Then He spoke a parable to them. This is Jesus. Then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That's a word for somebody right here. You meant to pray. Jesus shared a parable. Says it. He spoke a parable to them. That's capital H. He, Jesus. He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Then He goes and He tells a parable about a city judge who did not fear God nor regard man. And there was this widow in the city, and she came to the judge and she was saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And she did not want to let it go. And she was there every time. And He says, though I do not fear nor regard man, yet because the widow troubles me, I will avenge her. Lest be her continual coming, she weary me down. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust said, unjust judge said. Verse 7, and shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him? That's you. That's me. That's us being persistent. You are His elect. You are the one He loves. You are the one that He chose through Jesus and the cross. And He says, shall he not avenge His own elect who cry out to Him day and night? You see what? Jesus here emphasizes the persistence of prayer. The persistence of prayer. The widow's relentless pursuit of justice from an unjust judge illustrates the importance of not giving up in our prayers. You see, persistence in prayer demonstrates our faith and our trust in Him. God, I may not see it in the natural yet, but I am believing that the outcome is coming. This is a word for somebody in this place. The outcome is coming. God, everything that it doesn't seem like you are doing anything, but God, you are a faithful God, and I know that you are continuously persisting, pushing in, praying. Why do you think we stand here on a Sunday and I get up here and we linger a little longer in His presence? We've been persistent. We're being persistent because you know what? Without his presence, we're just having a fat gathering. And I'm not part. I don't want to be part of just a fat gathering. I want to be part of where his spirit moves, where his spirit is powerful, where people's lives are touched and changed for all eternity. I did church long enough where there was no power of God in the church. And I'm not prepared to go back there. And I'm not prepared to host services and meetings like that because I know without his presence, lives cannot be changed. My life has changed because of his presence. That was just a little side note. Just saying. Last point. Prayer aligns you with God's will. Very important. Prayer aligns you with God's will. Prayer helps us remain in the perfect plan that God has. Matthew 26:39, he went a little farther. This is Jesus. And he fell on his face and he prayed saying, oh my Father, if it is possible. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. I cannot speak today. But anyway, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, finding God's will for our lives and obeying is integral for our growth. If you look at Jesus, you see that obeying the Father was his priority. Obedience is the response of faith to the instruction of God. Let me repeat that. Obedience is the response of faith to the instruction from God. So successful Christian living results from seeking and knowing God's will and then being obedient and doing it in faith. But JJ, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I've got an answer. Pray. Can't get out of that one. Pray. I know what his will is. Pray. He will reveal his will. Oh, but I don't know what to pray. I've got an answer. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. He is your helper. Not me. He is your helper. He is God Almighty. He is your helper. Where do you get that from? John 14:26. Write this one down and go and study it. But the helper, it says that, capital H, but the helper. Then it says the Holy Spirit, capital H, capital S, from the Father will send in my name, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and remind you of all that I said to you. But the helper, everybody say helper, is the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is your helper. So pray in your heavenly language if you don't know what to pray in English or in Cantonese or in South African or in Afrikaans. Pray in your heavenly language. Why? Because it is he who comes. It is he who reminds you of all things. It is he who teaches you all things. Praying in your heavenly language is praying in line with the perfect will of God because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you the utterance. He's not going to lead you in a prayer contrary to God's will, because he is God. He is God. So when you pray, whilst being led by the Holy Spirit, pray confidently. Pray confidently. Why, JJ? Because 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So when you, as a righteous one, ask, know his plans, know his purposes, have a relationship with him, and you ask according to his will, he hears us. And verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. God hears you when you ask, when you pray according to his will. And as we do, I want to declare over you, as you do, we will see doorways opening. We will see the blessings of heaven, the fullest blessings of heaven being released in our lives. When we pray according to his will. Now, that is a mouthful, JJ. Good. Go and listen to the podcast again because this podcast will be on. But I want to conclude with this and I will wrap it all up. You see, in conclusion, prayer is the fundamental aspect of a believer's life. It is a command from God. a means of communication. It is a source of power. It is a pathway for spiritual growth. It is a demonstration of persistence, and it is a means to align with God's will. I loved what Pastor Richard Gordon said at the Prophetic Summit. He says, we've got to stop just trying to do what we want to do, and we've got to start finding out where God is and partnering with what He is doing. The church too long have been running programs and asking God to bless them instead of going, God, what do you want us to do? Where are you busy? Let's partner with you. Because when we partner with Him, we are in His will. We are in His way. We are in His perfect will. But when we try and do our own things and get Him to bless us, will He bless us? He will, because we are His children. But it won't be His perfect will. I say, come on, Yuma East. Come on, family. Let us be a praying church. Let us be a church. Let us be a church. I'm not talking a building. I'm talking we are the church. Let us be His church that prays consistently and persistently. Let's be His church that finds His perfect will. Because I can tell you, like I said last week, that when we are praying and we come together, what we prayed in the week will manifest in this place on a Sunday. Why? Because we'll be in one accord and we'll be in His perfect will. Signs, wonders, and miracles will happen that will follow us where we go. We will see the most creative miracles in this place when we start praying and we are in His perfect will. Does He want to do creative miracles? Heck yes, He does. Does He want limbs growing out? Yes, He does. Does He want arms coming back? Yes, He does. Does He want eyeballs being placed back in sockets? Yes, He does. Why? Because He's a creative God who is full with wholeness. He wants His body to be whole. He wants His children to be whole. You know that person at work that irritates you the most? God wants you to be the one that prays for them, to bring them into alignment so that He can have them in His kingdom. But it starts with you. You've got to be praying. Got to be praying. Amen. So here's the challenge. You know, we always finish with the challenge. My challenge is the same challenge as last week. How's your prayer life? Last week I said, hey, if you're praying once a week, pray twice a week. Have you done it this week? If you're praying four times a week, pray five times or six times a week. Have you done it this week? If you're praying seven times, pray morning and afternoon. Pray nighttime as well before you go to bed. But you know what? Let's ramp this up. Let's really be a place that is persistent in our prayers. Be intentional. Set the alarm. Get up, even if it's freezing cold outside, get up and be in His presence. Make time to commune with Him. Make time to come in one accord with God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you and pray according to the will of the Father. Then wait and see what Holy Spirit does. See what Holy Spirit comes up with. He is your helper. This that I'm sharing today, all these notes that I've given you today, though that comes out of this. But the Holy Spirit is the one that He's the author. He's the one that wrote this. He wrote this. So He knows, and He'll be the ones when we ask Him. And it's simple. Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to pray about? Oh, pray for Jack. Oh, yeah. What do I need to pray for Jack for? He's going to write an exam. All right, I pray for Jack, who's going to be writing an exam. I pray, Father God, that you'll encounter him. I pray, Father God, that it'll be easy. Thank you, Lord. Next week, I bump into Jack. Hey, Jack, how was your exam? How do you know I was writing an exam? Well, God told me. Oh, wow. How did it go with the exam? Oh, it was brilliant. Great, I prayed it. What a testimony. Hey, Jack, you want to come with me to church? Is that the place where you pray, where you go every Sunday? Yeah, I'll come with you. Come on, people. Come on, people. How are these chairs going to be filled? You and I praying. You and I praying. Is this okay? All right, can we pray?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.